Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pisces Rising.
Hi everybody. We're back with a listener request.
Yeah, we had a request to talk about planetary returns. So you might have heard of a Saturn return, and you're going to experience returns for almost all of the planets. And we're going to go through each of those and talk about what that is, what that's going to be like, how often they're going to happen, and just how it will affect you.
All right. So, and it's going to, well, I think just start with the Sun, because that's the easiest. And most people know the term happy solar return or welcome your solar return. And it's just as simple as the Sun going back into your sign, the day it was when you were born.
It's your birthday.
And interestingly enough, with the solar returns, because of things like leap year, and the way the earth turns, it's not always the exact day of your birthday that the sun re-enters into the sign as to where it was when you're born. So even with a solar return, it could literally be 2 days before or 2 days after your actual birthday.
That's right. Yeah, it is in the vicinity, so it's going to be pretty close to your birthday, but yeah, it could vary. So you're going to want to look at the degree the sun was in when you were born, and that is when you can see when the actual solar return is happening.
And it's as simple as, like, having a great day. The sun is on your side. It's pretty awesome in the sense of just having that physical energy, that solar power align with your soul, your personality, your energy. That's one of the reasons why and around your birthday is usually a pretty great day. In general, I recommend people get their tarot cards read or astrology charts, especially if you're going to choose an astrology chart that is a solar return chart. Doing that close to or around your birthday, you get the most time out of it. So if you get it on or around your birthday, you just get that year of whether it's prediction or the energies to be, the closer you are to your solar return, the more information you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. You can get a picture of the year to come. It's a good day to kind of return to your own energy, the energy of your spirit, your soul. It's kind of like revitalization and just an illumination of the sun. It can feel like coming home in a way. And yeah, that happens once a year. So that's one that you've definitely experienced, one that you can consciously welcome in as it arrives each year. And yeah, it's a great time, as Heather was saying, to sort of look into divination and figure out what's coming in the year ahead and just aligning with the planetary energy to come.
So want to move to Mercury?
Sure.
Or the moon, actually. The moon is also a return, which kind of happens every month.
Yeah, it happens about every 28 days.
In a year, it will happen, I think, 13 times, if okay. Not 12 times.
Yeah.
PMS, like for the women out there, you might notice that when the moon enters your sign, it's, you know, kind of an extra fertile or menstrual time. Very much the moon is really coinciding with cycles. So that would be something to pay attention to. For women, it might be the menstrual cycle. For everyone else, it could just be a hormonal cycle and your biorhythms, and having it kick off when the moon conjuncts whatever your moon sign is in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be pretty potent. You might find that you are reinvigorated in some ways, especially internally. You might feel like your emotions are kind of aligning, like your inner world is sort of being brought to the surface more. All the energies of the moon and the kind of like divine feminine flow, all of that is going to be highlighted for you when you have your lunar return. You might find that you're a little more sensitive. You might feel a little more intuitive, possibly. All of that will be exaggerated. And you've got me thinking now. Now I'm wondering, like, does my cycle line up with my moon sign? I've actually, like, I pay attention to the moon phase, but I haven't actually, like, kept track of the moon sign. And now I'm really curious to look.
Yeah, it's pretty, I've looked and noticed, even, not only even in my own, but my friends who I'm close with, you know, like, we always text each other some nasty bleeding emoji, or not an emoji, a meme, whatever the clip is, and yeah. I just notice, like, all right, Ellen has this moon, and Sarah has this moon, and this is happening right now, so it is pretty apparent, especially, you know, with moon signs, too. The other thing you'll notice is when you have a close relationship with your friend, like a close and vulnerable relationship, and you can really notice their moon and notice their subconscious. Another thing that the moon going back into somebody's sign, like if you really pay attention to astrology, you will notice people's mood shifts by their moon. So if, say, for example, somebody's moon is in Aries and the moon is in Aries, you might see them really pick up their pace in what they're doing and feel the fire or be extra cranky. And if somebody has a moon in Cancer and the moon goes into Cancer, you're going to notice them, again, if they're a good friend, staying home a lot. So really, as far as like intimate energy, you could see so, so much with the moon and your friends, even maybe more than they could see. So that's another thing to look at with returns is when you notice these things, it's like for the ball, it's studying because you will notice patterns and you can notice these patterns with people who you are close to more so with the moon than anything else. And I'm talking close, like a long historic relationship and knowing somebody's patterns, close as in intimacy or close as in, you know, old school friends who have seen a lot of transitions. And if you pay attention to astrology, really, it's a great way to study and to pay attention because it's the emotional energy, which is ever changing. And it helps friendships a lot, knowing these things and these patterns.
Absolutely. How do you think that the moon the lunar return affects men? We've talked a little bit about women, but I would almost think of it as maybe returning them to like a softer side or making them feel a bit more in touch with that kind of vulnerable energy.
Yeah, I actually didn't think of that at all until you saying something now, and that would make a lot of sense, returning to a vulnerable energy. Actually, you know what? I definitely noticed in my partner with a moon in Taurus energy of when the moon is in Taurus with his moon in Taurus. So I have noticed a little bit with that, and it is more... And maybe this is just with him, but what I do notice is it's more of whatever it is, and the vulnerability is allowed more. There's less restriction on it when the moon is conjunction. There's less restriction on setting whatever that mood is free.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Okay, do you want to move on to Mercury?
Yep.
Okay.
So it usually returns once a year. Mercury, you know, other than when it stays in retrograde forever in Capricorn, Mercury, like, pretty much 30, 40 days in a sign. So you'll probably experience a Mercury in retrograde 10 to 11 times a year.
Mercury in retrograde?
You'll probably experience a Mercury return once a year, but maybe in a 13, maybe sometimes it's like every 13 months or 14 months because of Mercury in retrograde.
Yep.
And I would also say it's going to last for more than a day, maybe 2 days or 3 days.
Yeah.
Back to the moon real quick. The actual conjunction of the moon and your moon, yes, it happens once a month, but it only happens intensely for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, it's very fleeting, very brief. So you can kind of plan ahead almost, look and see when it's going to happen, and then maybe take that time to spend some private time alone or doing something that connects you with that inner world.
Yeah. The Mercury is outer world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to enhance your conversation and research, too. Like, that might depend on what sign it's in. But quest for learning and information and curiosity would really pick up during a Mercury return.
Yeah, you'd probably feel a bit more chatty. And again, it does matter what sign it's in. For instance, if your Mercury is in like Virgo or Scorpio, maybe you wouldn't be quite as chatty as someone with like a Mercury in Gemini. But still, you're going to be a bit more communicative, wanting to get ideas across, wanting to learn and soak in information. And you might find that you have a bit more of a restless mind when you have your Mercury return. You're going to be very active in the brain, needing to kind of turn over information, understand things on a deeper level, and really just wanting to share with other people. You might be a bit impatient to know things. You're going to want to have that flow of information happening pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's good. What about thinking you're right?
Yeah, that could happen for sure. Okay.
Yeah, like really kind of being more into information than normal, than you normally are, like kind of having a, I need to figure this out right now. And I think that goes to what you were saying about like this restlessness or potential impatience.
Yep.
You know, a return, anything return automatically means conjunction.
Right.
And conjunction is always adding on to whatever force you're dealing with. So it's the moon adding on to emotion, sun adding on to personality, Mercury adding on to communication and curiosity and electricity. The other thing too with the Mercury return is it might mean like, all right, this is the day to buy a new car or buy a new computer. Things like that might happen, maybe even on the more impulsive side, but just that intuitive inclination to make that purchase.
Yep. Yeah, especially like technology, Mercury really rules over that. And in a way, Mercury rules over travel because it's kind of like the quick passage from one place to another. So yeah, a car would make sense with that.
Do you think too that the Mercury return is also going to happen around your birthday?
Yeah, because Mercury travels so close to the sun that it's typically within, I'd say, a few weeks of your birthday. I feel like I've had my Mercury return in July before, and I'm an August Leo. But yeah, I'd say typically speaking, it's within your zodiac sign typically. So if you're, you know, a Leo, you're going to probably have your Mercury return in Leo season or really close to it. You could have it at the tail end of Cancer season, beginning of Virgo season, but it's not going to be beyond that. It's going to be within that little pocket.
And even going forward, all of the returns we are about to talk about are going to be farther and farther away because we got still to talk about Venus, Mars, Jupiter. Oh, no. Okay, that was short-lived. That was great. That was perfect Mercury, actually. Leave that in there, Ash.
Okay, I will, yeah.
Like, SOS, Mercury. So going into Venus, and then we'll get into Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, but those are not, those can be, like, pretty far off from your birthday.
Yeah.
Venus is likely to be closer, but still maybe a couple months out. I think what Venus can only go up to a sextile. It's only up to 2 signs before or 2 signs after, right?
Yeah, after your sun. Yeah.
Yeah. So a Venus, you know, depending on where it is also, you know, your return is probably still going to happen about once a year. But it might very well be a couple months before or after your birthday.
Yeah, the Venus return is quite lovely. It's very romantic. It can definitely increase passion and romance in your life. You might, if you have a partner, you know, you might notice that the relationship is much more tender and loving. And if you don't have a partner, maybe you're going to find one during that time, or you're going to develop a serious crush on someone. There's also going to be a lot of artistic inspiration. You might feel compelled to change your physical appearance, get some new clothing, get a haircut, sort of beautifying yourself, your space. Maybe you're getting new curtains, new bedspread, like all of that stuff could happen during a Venus return.
Upgrading, for sure. That's cool. I wasn't necessarily thinking as much about the physical aspects of it, but I definitely, like, just went through an upgrade myself probably right during my Venus return of things, so that makes sense. The other component I want to add is when you are interested in somebody around Venus in retrograde, or either in partnership, however that's working for you during the Venus in retrograde, you will have more courage to act on it and more curiosity to act on it. So if you're normally shy or vulnerable, it doesn't even really matter what your Venus return is. Some signs more than others, but there's going to be more of a courage there to express yourself when it comes to love and vulnerability and acting on it, especially if it does happen to align with the sun. And it's going to last for, what, 2-3 days maybe?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's a fairly short window, but longer than a sun or a moon return. And
even longer than a Mercury, I would think.
I think maybe like a day longer than a Mercury return. And yeah, I mean, it's a soft energy. It's very, I don't know, I really like a Venus return. I think it's very positive. There's very little, I think, that could be negative about a Venus return.
Yeah, I don't even know what it would be, because Venus is such a harmonious planet. Maybe drinking too much, or indulging a little too much, eating too much, you know, like being overly full just because of like an overdose of pleasure.
Spending too much money, maybe. Yeah, like going out on the town with your lover and like, you know, buying way too much expensive food and drink, and like buying the, you know, $100 dress to go out for one night, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah.
Mars. Ready for Mars?
Yeah, this is a little less frequent. I think this would probably be like every year and a half. Is that true?
Yeah. Year and a half, 2 years.
Yep.
Because, you know, the Mars could also go into Scorpio, it specifically went into Scorpio in retrograde for a while, a few years ago. But also when it goes into retrograde, it can stay there for a long time. Because I just remember certain times, almost it feels like torture when it's in retrograde conjunct for a long time. You're just like, oh my God, when is this going to end?
Yeah.
It, depending on what it's in, it could make you hyper-aggressive and hyper-expressive. Or, like, you're going to internally combust.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that when you have your Mars return, your energy is at its highest. Your physical energy is going to be really high. You're probably going to need more exercise. You're going to need to get out your aggression somehow, whether that's through exercise, through some kind of, like, martial arts, some kind of movement. Otherwise, you might be a little temperamental. You might be getting into arguments with people. I also find that this is slightly off topic, but just in terms of, you know, building toward a Mars return, when your Mars is opposite, transiting Mars, that's when your energy is at the lowest. So then as it increases, as it moves back toward a conjunction, it's going to increase and increase, and then you're going to be at your sort of all-time high when your Mars returns.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's going to also be kind of abrupt when it returns too. It's going to just be like, boom, here it is, kind of like this mood swing that doesn't quite go away quickly.
Yeah, this one lasts a little longer, too. It's more like 5 to 7 days. You know, it's going to be pretty much a week where you're going to be feeling the fire. You're probably going to want to make sure you're getting a lot of energy and aggression out, you know, planning ahead if you can, looking to see when that's going to happen, and, you know, working it out and getting out and doing stuff.
It can feel longer because of having to recover from whatever asinine thing you might do.
Yeah, you might get into an argument with someone. You might, you know, have your temper go off. You might also notice that this increases your sex drive. You might be feeling more passionate, more willing to take a chance when it comes to a sexual relationship, you know, like doing things that might be out of character. It's possible.
What do you think about indulging?
Yeah, I think so, because there's very little like holding back with this. It's going to just be impulsive and moving forward and just going for it without much thought.
Different than Venus. Exactly what you just said. It's going to be different from Venus in that way. With Venus, you're really going to kind of savor, but there is something kind of possessive about Mars where you might act on it before anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, when Mars is out a week later, you're like, oh, why did I do all of those things?
Right. You're almost, I don't know, it's like seeing red or something. Like, you're just kind of moving forward. You're just going for it, and then yeah, when it's over, you're like, what was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, seeing red. We ready for Jupiter?
Yes, Jupiter returns, so now we're gonna start to go further and further. Jupiter returns only happen every 12 years, so that's a big jump from a Mars return to a Jupiter return. Jupiter takes, you know, about a year to go through each sign, so it's going to take it 12 years to make it back around. So you're going to have your Jupiter return, your first one around age 12, again at age 24 or so, and then so on and so forth. But I love a Jupiter return. Jupiter returns are beautiful. They're going to bring a lot of luck and abundance and natural faith, optimism, and a little bit of extravagance, I'd say.
Physical energy and vitality, too, in a joyful way. Risk is kind of the wrong word, but a confidence in new endeavors and not thinking so much before jumping into things that you desire to do. Very lighthearted.
Yep. Very positive, you know. I see it as, really, it's quite a blessing. I think it could last to like a couple weeks, probably, right?
Yeah. And a good time to literally jump into something new, which will feel impulsive because, yes, the 2 weeks lasting, again, longer than the other ones, but still short, but long enough to make a decision, to act on that decision, and to change everything in a positive way really quick.
Yeah, you could suddenly decide to travel, like you could jump on a plane and just go to a place you've always wanted to go. You could just randomly apply for a new job out of nowhere. You could, you know, make an exciting change. And, you know, it's kind of about getting pulled into something that feels like a whirlwind of excitement and possibility and following that and having this kind of optimism that it will all work out and rolling with it.
You know the Richard Linklater movies, which I think are done every 9 years, but there's a couple of them. There's the Before Sunrise series, and then there's the one that he filmed of that boy's life.
Oh, yeah.
Got a scene every 7 years, I think it was.
Wow, yeah.
Years? I can't remember what that one's called. Boyhood. It's called Boyhood, and it shows this boy, like, from infancy to 7 to 14 to 21, all the way up until adult. Over the time with the same actors and actresses. And it's kind of like that, both of the movies, in the sense of having this magical thing happen or getting a skippet of the scene of this magical energy that brings you like closer to what you want and closer to adventure and a little bit of a fearless energy in getting it. And watching those movies is just like witnessing a part in time of that Jupiter return energy, even though it probably does not align with Jupiter. That would be a good way to kind of see it when you're in the scope of watching a moment of somebody's life, but that positive moment, what can they become? What are they going? How is this going to turn out? It's really looking at somebody's courage and enthusiasm to explore the expansive parts of them, but specifically without fear and specifically with confidence.
Yeah, I think there could also be like a spiritual component to this because Jupiter, you know, does have a spirituality or philosophy aspect to it. So you could find yourself feeling like a renewed faith, renewed trust in the universe, maybe like realigning your philosophies. All of that could happen as well.
Yeah, also too, Ash, just saying that, I was thinking, I could see somebody being like, I'm going to write a book and crank it out in 2 weeks.
Oh, like, yeah. And they could probably do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily live in the past, but it is a burst of intellectual creativity for sure.
Yep. Okay, then the Saturn return is one that you may know about. That happens about every 28 to 29 years. It's a little bit less fun. It's more about getting serious and figuring out your responsibilities, figuring out how they align with your life, if that is the choice you want to make. There's often some kind of commitment that happens or a rejection of a commitment that's already been formed. It's really like...
It's judgy?
Yeah.
I think people get really judgy on themselves. I should be doing this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like around the age of 28 or 29, that's when a lot of people are like, maybe I should get married. Maybe I should, you know, be doing more with my life. Maybe I need to be doing this. And then when you have your second Saturn return at around age 56, that's when a lot of people, you know, have their midlife crises. They're like, you know, I should have done this with my life. I should have been doing this. I'm going to quit my job and buy a sports car now. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, that's interesting, too, because I've also known a lot, like an exceptional amount of people who have committed suicide in their, it's at 60 years old.
Yeah.
And I bet you it's like smack dab in the middle of that Saturn return of I feel worthless, because it can bring that. If you feel like you haven't accomplished stuff and you do judge yourself and you do value accomplishment and you get to a point where you realize you have not done what you planned or what you envisioned, which usually happens, you know, you can't control everything. So a lot of times the vision's going to change or you just don't go for it all. It's circumstance happens. I think the Saturn, that Father Time, gets really judgy and disciplined, especially kind of for the second one.
Yeah.
If you are feeling this, if you don't have your self-esteem and you are feeling that energy, if you do have the practice of building and keeping your commitments and that self-esteem and that self-worth, the second Saturn return could actually be really laid back.
It's true, yeah. And some people will actually live to have a third one because it happens around the age of 84. And interestingly enough, the third Saturn return usually aligns with the Uranus return, which we'll get to. But that's an interesting time of like reflection on what you've done in your life, maybe taking stock of all the things that you've, you know, done in the world, maybe turning more inward, thinking about it. So that is another way that the Saturn return can manifest, especially as you get older. A lot of people, the best way to handle the Saturn return really is to figure out what it is that you want rather than trying to adhere to someone else's expectations, like whether that's society or your parents or, you know, your and any like position of authority wants from you, because oftentimes what will happen is people will make choices around their first Saturn return, like, oh, everyone my age is getting married, I'm going to do it. And then they realize by their second Saturn return, oh, I never actually really loved this person. I just did it because I thought I had to. So now I'm going to leave them, you know. So just being more self-aware and honest with yourself, that's a really good way to tackle the Saturn return if you can.
Yeah, each Saturn return is going to mature. And in a way, it almost seems like you experience Saturn four times. Because when you're born, you have the Saturn. And then by the time you die, if you die around 84 or over, you've experienced that Saturn energy four times, which is a square.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you know, it's like going to mature you. Ideally, it will mature you, and if you take that Saturn lesson, it's just going to give you more experience and more wisdom, where instead of wanting to, like, not live anymore because you feel like there's a lack of accomplishments, you kind of come to this energy of acceptance of who you are and being grounded in that.
Yes.
And that's by the people that are 84 experiencing it again and kind of enjoying it. At that point, there's nothing to lose, and you're confident in who you are and what you have to say, and you're going to be grounded in it and really not compromise. Actually, I could see where each Saturn return would be uncompromising. So I could see where it would be hard to talk to somebody who's really facing it and kind of sad about it, not even if they know that they're having a Saturn return, but those phases that happen every, 28, 29 years, this is something you're going to really be in it, and it's going to feel like molasses. So other people's perspective aren't going to be very helpful to you.
No.
When you're so thick in it. But if you keep climbing, which is what that Capricorn Saturn energy wants to do, and you literally work through it, by the time you get to your last one, it's going to be like a party of who you are.
Absolutely. Also, a Saturn return, can last usually lasts around a year, right?
On and off, because it does go into retrograde pretty frequently. So you're going to get hit with it so much. Yeah. It was pretty cool. I delivered Oliver during my Saturn return. It was pretty much hitting to the exact degree when I pushed him out, which was really interesting and profound, because all that pressure on the womb is just very Saturn. And then that gave him the Saturn. So he has his place in Saturn at the same time.
You'll go through your second Saturn return when he goes through his first.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that fucking awesome?
That's cool.
And just like, I do have a secret hope he has his baby during his Saturn return, and that's when I become a grandmother, but that's a whole fantasy I don't want to get too attached to.
We'll see. I mean, that could be cool, like the passing of Saturn through the generations.
Yeah.
So yeah, Uranus, you will have possibly once if you live to about 84. Uranus, takes a while to make it through the zodiac, so only people who live to be that old or older are going to experience a Uranus return. And to me, I think it's kind of like a shaking up of the mind and more of a connection with the higher realms. Like, it's almost like you're starting to reconnect to the source energy, and there could be like flashes of insight or channeling or intuition, a connection to kind of where you came from and where you're going to go back to. It's sort of, it's very electric.
Yeah, that's awesome, Ash. It is like the lottery of death, too, in the sense of like, all right, I never had faith before, but now I'm going to have it. And if you notice, people who are that age, even if they're not in their dying practice, but maybe getting close to it, because sometimes it takes like a few years to die. It's really interesting. Things slowly shut down depending on how you die. But with Uranus, I noticed so many people at 84 who are like, oh, I saw my wife up in heaven. And they'll like begin to have, I say this in quotes, hallucinations.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's probably really the return of Uranus, just getting that glimpses of God here and there, and the veil getting thinner and thinner, and actually being more open to it because your Uranus has returned.
Right. Uranus is very non-judgmental. It's very much whimsical and eccentric. And so there's kind of a leaning into that. Also, you'll see people around that age don't really give a fuck anymore. They're just doing whatever they want. They don't really care what people think of them. That's very Uranian as well.
Yeah, whether it's like having to have your diapers changed or deciding you're in perfectly good health and you're just going to go travel the world, whatever it is, there's a shamelessness to it.
Yep.
A death date could be figured out like through Uranus return.
It's possible, yeah. Yeah, so that's the last of the planets that you could have a return for. You'll never have a Neptune or Pluto return. They just don't happen often enough for any human to have those. So this is, do you want to talk about Chiron?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
I mean, that's a huge one.
It is.
Chiron needs to get promoted to a planet, really.
It needs to be on the same level as the others, for sure, in terms of astrology and people talking about it. Because Chiron returns happen in your 50s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally at 50.
Okay.
I don't quite know how it works fully, because it does seem to stay in Pisces and Aries longer than other signs. But I do want to say that a lot of my astrology readings, especially over the past few years, I've noticed a huge pattern in 50-year-old women. Hmm. You know, when they even not even being into astrology at all and not even having any clue about Chiron. By the time they hit 50, they're like, okay, it's time for a chart. What the fuck is going on? I finally believe in planets. And 9 times out of 10, when these women come to me, it's smack dab in the middle of their Chiron return. And at this point, I could, like, predict it. And I've even done full-on hour-and-a-half readings of only focusing on Chiron because it is so relevant in that energy of wanting to deeply heal those wounds. And I will even see like so many, like in my, in that thing that we have, Ash, the time lapse where we put our appointments into.
Yep.
Like I just have like maybe 100 women that it's specifically women too. My client's a little bit more feminine than anything else. Like I read for more women than men. And then I would say even second, I read for more people who don't identify with a gender or have identified with one or both before. And then the last, you know, I would say 10% of my clients are men and 70% are, you know, women and 20% are non-gender. It's very, very interesting. But the women, it's always, always, always Chiron return at 50. And then I explain that to them. It's usually very helpful, but it is intense because it's like, oh my God, I've never had an orgasm before. I really want to experience my body. Oh, I realize my partner's a narcissist and I need to get out of the way. It's like you have all these emotional revelations with your Chiron return, and it is so big and so fucking obvious that I completely... Like, there are some charts that don't even show Chiron in the natal chart.
Yeah, like, I know.
How is it possible? Because it's so strong.
It is so strong. And it's such a healing energy. There's going to be a desire to really see yourself. So if there's any parts of yourself that you've blocked off, like any trauma that's happened that has kept certain parts of yourself kind of locked in time, like you... just kind of like repress a memory, or maybe you repress an emotion or something that's held in your body, all that's going to be shook loose at your Chiron return. And that's going to probably feel like a lot if there's a lot that's been buried, but it's going to be very freeing if you're able to handle it and face it.
Yeah, it's probably one of the more fun things to work with, actually, because at that point, you're just want to figure it out and want to actually experience joy and sensuality, specifically through the body too.
Yeah.
And being human becomes like really strong. Like, and it might even be what I've noticed too, is it gets really compare-y and really like, oh my God, I'm aging. I only have so much time to do this. So it does kind of light a fire of healing under your ass if you haven't done the healing prior to.
Yes, absolutely.
Ash, do you remember your mom going through it?
I mean, I don't know. So when she was 50, I would have been 20. I don't know that I was super aware of Chiron at that point, but like thinking back to that time, it does feel like there was a lot going on. Especially, yeah, I guess it would have been around at the time I was like 21, 22. I was really noticing a lot of stuff going on for her that I think now I could probably attribute to Chiron.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wondering too. I guess I noticed my mom's. I don't even know. I think my dad was too far out of the picture for me to even notice that. But my mom, it's when she was like, I'm divorcing you. And it just was probably the best time I had with her because she was like vulnerable and honest and really wanted to like get out of her crap situation. And it was very magical. And I always, that was the time that I felt the closest to her, was when she was in her Chiron return.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's a, I kind of like it. I think it's, I mean, obviously it's intense, but there's something very freeing about it.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Keep sending in requests, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. For listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast
email us, PiscesRisingPodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.